out of Egypt is a theme that we hear time and time again that is really central to the covenantal history of the Old Testament. I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That appears dozens, literally dozens of times. God constantly reminding the people of Israel, I am the Lord thy God who have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It was a covenantal reminder of God's grace and his mercy. And we know that the people of Israel dwelt there really, again, out of God's grace and his protection when a great famine had struck Palestine. And we know in Joseph, that we know the story of Joseph being taken into captivity and who was eventually elevated to a prince of Pharaoh and administering the grains and during this time of great famine that literally helped to feed the rest of the world. And it was only after the revelation and the meeting of Joseph and his brothers that Jacob and his sons were made their sojourn in Egypt, away from their home. And that sojourning for the people of Israel continued for many centuries until they grew great in numbers there in the land of Goshen. And we know then God raised up Moses, who led them out across the waters of the Red Sea, through the waters of the Red Sea, into the wilderness. And we know eventually, as I had spoken about at the circumcision of our Lord, it was Joshua then who led the next generation across the waters of the Jordan back into the promised land, out of Egypt. And we see the same motif being carried out in the life of the young child Jesus. We know that Herod, who after meeting the Magi, the wise men, and after being consulted with the religious leaders and saying that the Messiah would come out of the house of Bethlehem, that Herod, not wanting anyone to threaten his rule, ordered the slaughter of all male children 2 years of age and under in Bethlehem and all its districts. And we commemorated that day just this past week in the Feast of Holy Innocents, among the first martyrs of the church, babies slaughtered. And we know that the Lord, in wanting to protect the Christ child, just as Joseph was sent into Egypt, so Joseph and Mary and our Lord went to Egypt to escape the murderous wrath of King Herod. And we know that when Herod finally died, that according to the gospel, today's gospel from Matthew chapter 2, that he was told by an angel to arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. And it goes on in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 21. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, that is the son of Herod, was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Out of Egypt, back into the land of promise. But in this case, instead of returning to Bethlehem where they had previously resided as a holy family, God once again directs them to a different place, to Nazareth, where Jesus would grow up as a child, where in accordance with prophecy that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, the word Nazarene is somewhat ambiguous here, but it certainly refers to the fact that he was a resident of the city of Nazareth. In fact, in the year 2000, June of 2000, and mine and Korea Pamela's one and only trip to the Holy Land, we had the opportunity to go visit the city of Nazareth and enshrining what they believe and the church traditionally believes is the remains, the remnants of the Holy Family's home, a church, the Church of the Holy Family was erected. And you go down into the catacombs of that church and you can view the home of the Holy Family where Jesus lived, not far, just a short walk from the synagogue where Jesus also spoke and worshiped. A Nazarene, because he was of the city of Nazareth. But the church fathers also tell us that in coming out of Egypt into Nazareth, that being called a Nazarene was a reference to that which is set apart and holy. It is a reference to the vow of the Nazarite from Numbers chapter 6. And I wanted to just remind you of that vow from Numbers chapter 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or a woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall neither drink vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. In all the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine from seed to skin." And it goes on to describe how the Nazarite also was, in consecrating and setting apart his body, was not to cut his hair. And there is then not to be present with dead bodies. Anything that would violate the consecration, the separation of that person. And the hair, finally, on the day that was appointed, would be shorn. And the hair would be offered to the priest for along with the other sacrificial offerings that were given. This reference to Jesus as a Nazarene is also a reference to this old covenant law, and we believe that Samson was probably a Nazarite, that St. John the Baptist had probably taken the vow of a Nazarite. But Jesus, while not strictly speaking, was an old covenant Nazarite, certainly was the fulfillment of him who had set himself apart as holy. Because intrinsically, Jesus as God is holy. But upon taking on our humanity, Christ Jesus represented the final fulfillment of the Nazarite. And of course, instead of offering his hair from his head, it would portend the ultimate sacrifice of his entire body. His entire body, giving his life for the life of the world in sacrifice as that great high priest. Coming out of Egypt. Egypt, theologically, is also a reference to the world. It's a reference to the world. And while we live in this world, we have to remember, as Orthodox Christians, we don't completely separate ourselves from the world unless we've been called to take the vows of the monastics. But rather, we are to abide in the world and helping to redeem the world. And redeeming the world. And yet we do not participate. We're set apart from the evil and the corruption of this world. being called out of Egypt also represents the general salvation history of all mankind. Christ being called out of Egypt into the promised land as a representation and as a final fulfillment of all the covenant of the old covenant history. God reminding them that I am the Lord God who called you out of Egypt. I'm the one who has called you out of the world into heavenly places. And we find those heavenly places when we commune with our Lord, when we come to Mass, when we go into the confessional with a contrite and repentant heart, sorrowful for our failures. We separate ourselves from the world. We, as I had said at the circumcision of our Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to conduct that surgery and removing the carnal flesh of our hearts, our carnal desires. Today we commemorate the life of Saint Genevieve, who was the patroness of the city of Paris, France, and still is. She was a fifth century saint that at the age of 15, she felt a calling to serve God, but didn't really know what shape that would take until Saint Germanus of Auxerre came past through her village where she was living. And Saint Germanus of Auxerre, by the way, is the very one who catechized and baptized Saint Patrick. But Saint Genevieve, in meeting Saint Germanus, told him of her desire to serve the Lord. And it was Saint Germanus who had suggested to her at the ripe young age of 15 that she should separate herself and become a virgin for Christ, that is, become a nun. And so upon the death of her parents, she went to her godmother's house in Paris. And there she was consecrated and was set apart as a virgin for Christ, as a monastic. And her works are well documented. This was in the mid-5th century. She became a person of prayer, a person of charity, and helping to feed the poor, to care for those who were sick. Her godliness became renowned. And in the year 451, when Attila and the Huns threatened to sack and to siege the city of Paris, she initiated a prayer marathon, had the people join her in supplications, and as a result of that, Attila and the Huns miraculously were deterred from attacking Paris and continued on to Orleans. Even after her death, her works and the miracles continued. In the early 12th century, there was a plague from tainted rye that was eaten in mass in the city that created what they called a St. Anthony's fire or burning fire. It was from the fungus and the rye. And it was, of course, they did not have the medical technology today. People became very ill, club-footed, horrible lesions, painful lesions on their bodies. And as a result, the bishop there brought the relics of Saint Genevieve out of the cathedral and did a public procession through the city, which brought healing to the people who were suffering from that epidemic. Well documented. This is the life of one who followed in the life of Christ. Being called out of Egypt, being called out of the world to separate herself and to give herself wholly to the work of God and making manifest and visible the kingdom of heaven, even beyond her lifetime. Again, we may not be called to the monastic life, but we are called out of Egypt. We are called to a place of holiness and righteousness. In closing, I want to remind you and share with you what St. Peter wrote in his first epistle in chapter 2. He said, therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Come to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people that are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, who's been called out of Israel into the glorious kingdom of God. Let us remember that in making manifest the holiness of God as we, by his grace, become partakers of his divine nature. Let us give thanks to the grace of in the sacraments and the grace in the lives of the saints that serve as those examples for us, and remembering that we are a people called out of Egypt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.